want to mention before we get in the message to thank all those that were here yesterday for the work day. We had a lot of people turn out, had a lot of stuff done inside and outside. If you noticed by the sign, if you didn't, you need to look. Those bushes are gone and things are cleaned up. Had a lot of helping out there and getting things cleaned up, a new rock around the sign. And so thank you for everyone that did a lot of work yesterday. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 5 through 9 this morning. And I want us to look at this thought of following the pattern. Following the pattern. Now, how many ever did something that you had a follow-up pattern before? You had a follow-up that is, anyone ever done paint by numbers before? You know, now some of you can paint and you don't need this. But some of us individuals that lack that talent and that ability, we have to paint by numbers. And we usually don't get the adult paint by numbers. We get the kids paint by numbers. Because that's even easier for us to understand and do. my house, and you, I know you're my parent. You've never done this, have you? You're smiling there. As a child, I have certain rights, and you've gone against my rights. How could you, as a mean parent that you are, make me ever clean my room? It is my right to be able to keep my room any way I want to keep it. If I want trash on the floor, I should be able to keep trash on the floor. If I don't want to make my bed, I should not have to make my bed. If I don't want to push in my drawers, I shouldn't have to push in my drawers. If I don't want to put the clothes in my closet, I shouldn't have to put the clothes in my closet. If I want to put the Hershey bar wrappers underneath the bed, I should be able to put the Hershey wrappers underneath the bed. Wait, Rick, do you do this now? All right, you scared me there. And we say, well, we have our rights. We have our rights. We can do this. How many times have you and I thought we had our rights in certain things? We give the kids a hard time, but we as adults, I have my right. I work my job, and I have my right. I don't have to listen to my boss. He's younger than me. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Oh, she doesn't know anything. I've been around this business a long time. I have my right. I should be able to do anything and do it my way in the way I want. And we have that mentality that we have certain rights. But one thing we always forget when it comes to the spiritual realm is this. You and I, if we are saved by the blood of the Lamb, have been purchased by his precious blood. We have been bought back by the slave market, from the slave market of sin. He has redeemed us. We are now his children. And when we become his children, he ought to become our God, our King, our Lord. And we have to learn something called submit. We must submit to him. A godly pattern we have is submitting. Now let's look at this, and we're going to break this down as we look at this whole idea of submitting in verse number 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. What does that mean? That means you young whippersnappers need to listen to us old geezers, right? Not exactly. What that's saying is those that are young in the faith need to listen to those that have matured in the faith. Just because you have no hair or gray hair doesn't mean you've matured in the faith. Just because you still pick your nose and you're little and you're slimy doesn't mean you haven't matured in the faith. There's an idea here is those that are, some of you got that finally, those that are young in the faith need to submit to those that are maturing in the faith. There's always someone more mature than you. And there's always many that are less mature than you. Well, I don't know, Rick, if there's any more or less mature than you. But that's in most people's cases. There's a little bit. Some of you are laughing. Rich, I could have picked on you just as easy, so don't laugh at him. Better for you. Lori's just being quiet, and she's like, oh, I'm not going to say a word. But the whole idea is this. There's always someone above you. It doesn't matter where you're at. We have never, none of us have ever arrived to a place that we don't need to submit to someone. We have to learn to submit. What it's saying is this. A godly parent is learn your place in life and learn to submit to the elders and those that are maturing and those that are growing, learn to submit to them. Learn to say, all right, I don't have to have my rights. I turn myself over to God. And God, I'm submitting to you. I'm submitting to the authority that you put in my life, and I'm going to listen to what you want. One of the issues we have in our day and age is what? People submitting to authority. Now, those that have been around in different realms and school ages and teaching and different things, even in churches or in schools today, those that have been in places of business, how many, you've been a place of authority and you've had someone that did not respect or submit to that authority? How many have had a little kid that think they didn't have to listen to you and you were the one in charge?
And you were the one there, and you're trying to be all gracious and kind and try to handle it the right way, and you have all the proper techniques and everything that you're supposed to be doing. And this kid just blatantly goes, I don't care. No, I'm not doing it. And you say, no, I'm your teacher, I'm this person, and I'm your authority, and you need to do this. And you start working with them, and they just say, no. Well, a couple years back at camp, junior camp, there was a kid there, and this kid started off the week very good. And then, all of a sudden, the kid just turned. You know, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde type of mentality. And this kid just turned. And it was craziness. And I got the privilege of dealing with this kid. And this kid would not move. He wouldn't stood there, and he wouldn't move. We told him he had to go. And no, I'm not going anywhere. It's getting dark. You got to go. No, he wouldn't get in there. We could not get him to move. And of course, this day and age, you cannot just pick him up and move him. You'll get in trouble. And so you're trying to deal with this kid. We said, all right, we're going to even call your parent. Go ahead. I don't care. So we end up having to call the parent. The parent. And we got the phone. And at camp, you can't use cell phones. And so there's a phone in the nurse's station that has the old dial-up phone. And we had the long cord. And we dragged this out the door to the kid. And he told his mom, no, I'm not moving. He told his mom, no. And it was stubborn. We all got to learn to submit to the authority that we're given. Look a little further here in this portion. Likewise, the younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. The pattern is submitting, but the pattern is learning to be humble. You and I will submit if we learn to be humble. That's a hard one. We are very prideful people. Most of us are. And some of us that don't think we are. And we come across in certain ways in our lives as being very prideful. We need to humble ourselves. We need to take the example that Jesus gives us in John chapter 13, where he takes the towel and he serves. Here's Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, humbled himself in a form of a servant and took the towel and washed the disciples' feet. That is the humbleness that we need to portray in our lives. That's how we are to humble ourselves. We're to submit one to another. We're to be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. See, if we learn to submit, what is God going to do? He's going to give us grace in our lives. God giveth grace to the humble, but resisteth the proud. God's pattern for us is to submit. When we submit, we have God's love, God's care, God's hope, God's grace, God's help in our lives. One of the patterns to follow is this, of submitting. What happens when we don't submit and follow the pattern? God resisteth the proud. You ever wonder why you and I have problems in our lives? You wonder why you understand God saves you, he's in you, he lives within you, all that. But you ever understand why God seems distant from you? It's because of the sin in our lives. It's because we haven't followed his pattern. Because we're not submitting to him and to his authority and to maturing and growing. We haven't submitted to that. And what we have done is we put ourselves as the most important person in the equation. And when we put ourselves as the most important person in the equation, we have left God out of it. And now, instead of having God's grace upon our lives, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Not only do we see submitting, but look at verse 7. I want to see that of relying or surrendering. We see submitting and we see surrendering. Look at verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, this is something, a verse that most of us can quote. Most of us know this verse. But this whole idea of surrendering carries the idea of relying upon God. You know, a pattern for life is learn to rely upon Him in every aspect of our lives. Every day of our lives, learn to rely. Now, we give this silly illustration, but this is true in a point we know. What happens when a kid is first born? They rely on the parent. Now, those that have older kids, what happens when the kids get older? Guess what? They still rely on the parent. When the kids get out of the home and they're sent off away, what happens most of the time? Some of them come back home. Some of them make a phone call. And what do? They still rely on mom and dad. Maybe not the exact same way they did when they were a baby. Hopefully not. But they still rely upon. The whole idea is this. We need to surrender and rely upon God. Casting all our cares. This is something we struggle with. Something we know. But how many like to admit you need help in life? How many like to admit? How many are the first one to go, I need your help. I need someone to help me. Someone to carry me through my problems. I need someone to bail me out of the mess I made in my life. How many like to admit you made a mess in your life and you need help? Not most of us, right? Most of us, that's where that pride comes in. That's why if you look at the way the verses come, it says, humble yourself, now cast your cares. Because you're never going to cast your cares till you submit to God. You're never going to follow the pattern till you submit to God. You're never going to surrender unless you submit first. You and I must submit. We're never going to rely on God if we think we can do it. But relying on God means this. I admit I can't do it. I admit I cannot take care of the load that I have on my shoulders. I don't know your load. I know my load. I know some people's loads, but you know your load. You know what's on your shoulders. You know what's weighing you down in life. Some people have a heavier load at this point in their life. Next week, it could be reversed. It could be changed. The load changes. But we all have loads upon us. And what that we do is that load gets on us and it pulls us down. And unless we take that load and give it to God, it's going to destroy us. And the whole idea is this. I learn to submit. And when I learn to submit, I learn to surrender. I learn to rely. I take my load that's upon my life and I take it fully, and I give it over to God. Oh, that's easy, Pastor. Well, I'm glad you have no problem with that. But most of us have an issue with that. We know what to do. How many know what to do most times, but you still don't do it? Or you struggle with it? We know what to do, but it's a whole lot harder doing it. How many know that you're supposed to put gas in a car? How many know? Come on. We know we're supposed to put gas in a car, right? How many of you ever run out of gas before? Now, wait a second. Didn't you know what you're supposed to do? And didn't they teach you and didn't your parents teach you that when it gets down to a quarter of a tank, that's a warning and you should have got gas a whole lot sooner than that and you better get gas in your car and you should have done it. You know what to do. And there's a gas station everywhere we turn. We have two right across the street. They're talking about building a third one. You have no excuse. There's gas everywhere you turn. And we know it. But how many times have you driven by a gas station? You looked at your dial, your gauge, and you realize, oh, I'm a little low. But I'm not going to take the time to do this right now. I'm going to drive by. I'll get it later. I'll get it a little later. And then you drive home because you get in your mind, you forget about it, and you just tunnel vision, I want to get home. I'm waiting for that dinner. I'm ready to get home. And you drive home, and then you realize, oh, I never got gas in the car. I should have stopped, but I didn't. Oh, I don't want to go back out. I'll get gas in the morning. And so you get up in the morning, and what happens? You never run late in your whole life. And that is the time you run late. Your alarm doesn't go off. It's spring forward your clocks this morning. and you're off, and everything happens, and you run out the door, you get in the car, you start it, and you're driving down the road running late for wherever you're going. And then you look at your gauge again and go, ooh, it's getting a lot lower. I need to get gas. Well, there's a gas station right there. Oh, but look at the time. I don't know if I have quite time. I'll get it a little later. So you drive by the gas station again. You go to your place. You do this. Well, I'll just leave a few minutes early, get gas, and I'll get everything taken care of. Well, you get that phone call right when you're about to walk out the door. And you don't want to talk on your cell phone in the car because you might lose the conversation and you got to take care of this. So next thing you know, you're driving home. You pass the gas station again. And you're like, I'll just get it tomorrow. But before you get home, you hear the puttering, and the car starts to hesitate a little bit, and next thing you know, you're coasting, and you stop. You try to start, but it's not going to start. Now, the simple fix was just get gas when you need the gas. We do the same thing in our life spiritually. What's the simple thing? Just give it to God. Rely on God. Turn it over to Him. How many times have we said, well, I'll do that, but I just don't have time right now. I'll do this, but, you know, it's just a little hard right now. And we come up with reasons, and we pass, keep passing by, and keep passing by, and we never give it to God. We never rely upon God. We never depend upon Him. We've never surrendered that over to Him. And what happens? That load is upon us, and it buries us. And then we're like, what do we do? See, God's pattern for living, follow God's pattern. We need to submit. We need to surrender. But I want you to see another thought here. We need to stand or resist. Look at verse 8 and verse 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resisteth steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. What do we have to do? We have to stand or resist. What's a pattern follow? Understand, the devil is not for you. The devil is against you. We must resist the devil. We must flee from him. We must not follow his way. See, we got to submit to authority. We got to submit to God. We got to surrender and rely upon him. But we must stand against the devil and resist him. Too many times in our lives, we have allowed the devil to come into our lives. We give him just a little part. But what happens when we give him a little part? He starts to try to take over. You see, you just give him the foothold in your life, and soon he has the heart hold of your life. We got to be careful in that, because we got to resist the devil. Because if you and I do not stand against the devil and the things of this world, who will start to control us? This world will control us. My mind is to be set on who? God. My mind is to be submitted to who? God. Surrendered to who? God. Relying upon who? God. Living for who? God. My focus ought to be on who? God. In my life. And what happens? When we don't resist or stand against the devil, he starts to change our mindset, the way that we think about things. He starts to get in, and he's that roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And the things that you and I used to stand against, the things that you and I used to say, no way would I ever allow in my home and in my life, in my place, I'm not going to do it. And now, all of a sudden, we haven't been resisting. We haven't been standing, and the roaring lion has come in, and now our way of life is totally messed up, and we're not following the pattern of God. Now, there's some issues in our lives that you and I know certain things as a believer we need to be careful of, we need not to do in our lives, we need to stand against, we need to be careful of filling our minds with it, we need to feed the spirit, not the flesh. We can go to Galatians, we can go all these scriptures, and we can look at this. But what we do is we allow it in. And people that were once standing and resisting the devil now have allowed them in their lives, and it's changed the whole pattern. Well, let me give an idea. What's a pattern, a godly pattern to live of resisting the devil? That means I need to be faithful in prayer with God. That is a simple thing in Scripture that a believer ought to communicate with their Father. Communication is key in any relationship. It is key in a relationship with God. It's key in your relationship with your marriage. It's key in your relationship with your kids and with others. It's a key in any relationship is communication. One of the biggest issues that people have in a relationship is they don't communicate and don't communicate properly. And almost everyone in this room have struggled with communication one time or another in your life. Sometimes you allow your temper to get in the way, and that affects your communication. Sometimes you allow your feelings to get in the way, and that's effective communication. But the proper communication equals a deep relationship with the individual. If we're not communicating with God, we are not resisting the devil. Because how can I resist the devil? I can't by myself. I must communicate with God. I must seek God's power, God's strength, God's help. I can't do it myself. I need Him to do it in my life. Another area in regards to this is not just prayer communication, but it's being fed. You see, we struggle in this area resisting because we're not feeding ourselves and getting fed what we need to resist the devil. If I become weak, I will be attacked, and when the roaring lion comes, I have nothing to stand against them because I don't have that strength. How do I get fed? Well, I get fed by being in God's Word on a daily basis. You see, if I'm not in God's Word, study to show thyself approved. If I'm not in God's Word, studying the Word of God, knowing the Word of God, loving the Word of God, living the Word of God in my life, I'm not going to be able to resist the devil. When Jesus himself was tempted, what did he do? He gave Scripture back. Other examples in Deuteronomy and other portions of Scripture, what do? They gave Scripture back. How do we defeat the devil? How do we resist the devil? How do we have victory? We must study and know the Word of God, love the Word of God, because we need the Word of God to be able to resist. If you're not in God's Word being fed, you and I are never going to resist the devil. We need to study and know. We need to be taught. We need to be taught the Word of God, but not spoon-fed the Word of God. There's a difference. We all know the illustration. We've used it before, the spoon-fed. What it means to be spoon-fed. Some of you remember when you did it with your kids. They could not eat unless you're Noah. Noah is funny eating. Baby Noah is hilarious eating. I've never seen a kid eat like baby Noah. We had spaghetti or pasta or something one time, and I tell you, his hair had it in. His face headed in, all down his shirt, all down his pants. I don't think you ever got that out, did you, Ashley? There's no way that was coming out. No OxyClean was going to clean that. There's no way that was going to happen. And they take it in. But most kids, you have to really get them to eat, especially when they're little. And you have to make them, especially those that use bottles and stuff. Sometimes they don't want the bottle and they spit it out and the different things. And sometimes you got to get them to eat it and make them to eat it, and you got to help them. That's spoon fed. But as you get older and you get the age of Jacob, you don't have to spoon fed him anymore, do you? Do you have to take the spoon and go whoop to him? You wish you could. And you wish you could tape his mouth shut from how much food he eats now. Because now he eats a lot of food. I tell you, I've never seen some kids, the Gones boys, I don't know how they even live, their family. Probably have to get 6 more jobs to be able to feed those boys. They're all over 6 foot tall, and they eat like everything they see. The best thing to do when we take them on trips and stuff is we go to a buffet restaurant, and we leave them there at the buffet restaurant. We go do other things and come back for them. A couple months ago, we did a college of career activity, and Caden was with us. And it's one of the restaurants that go around with meat, and they cut the meat off, and you can eat as much meat as you want to eat. And Tony and Olivia was with us, and Caden, and we're there, and we're all done. And Caden, we put it to red, so they stopped bringing us food. Caden took all of ours and put it by his plate on green. And he kept on going and kept on going. The manager even came over to him and talked to him and says, "Oh, you're really doing well. You want some more?" "Oh, yes, I want more." And he helped bring more food over. And it was, what, half hour, 40 minutes later, and he's still eating. And the rest of us have been sitting there for a long time. And so you don't have to spoon feed anyone anymore. And what happened is this, spoon feed. And what happened is this, is we grow in that place of our lives, and what we have to do is in the Word of God, we have to study the Word of God, we have to know the Word of God, we have to love the Word of God, and we should have a hunger and thirst for the Word of God. That's how we resist the devil. We hunger and thirst after righteousness. But I want you to see one other point here as we bring this to a close. Look at verse number 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that he hath suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. What do we see in verse 10? When you submit to God, when you surrender to God, when you stand against the devil, verse 10 tells us what? What does God do? We see the work of God. That's our last point. We see the work of God. The work of God says this, that he hath suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. What happens to you when you follow the pattern of God? You become steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. As you surrender, as you submit, as you stand, God makes you mature or perfect. God grows you, and the fruit of the Spirit's come in and through you, and you become settled in him, and you become deeply rooted. And when the wind blows of life, you are strong against the wind, and the wind cannot blow you like the chaff. You stand firm and strong. That's the pattern for godly living. You see the work of God as you follow him. As you and I look at our lives this morning, do you see the work of God in your life? Sometimes we say, well, I'm not established, I'm not strong, I'm not any of those things, I'm not settled. Check your pattern. Because if your pattern, my pattern, what Scripture tells us in 1 Peter 5, then those things happen in your life. And if I'm not having those things happen in verse 10 in my life, it's because I'm not following the pattern of God in my life. You see, I have to surrender and all those things, and then God does the work in my life. And I have to do it his way. Are you and I following after God? You say, well, preacher, I'm further from God today than I was last week. That's a problem. Because you're not following God's pattern. That's the problem, because you're not following God's pattern. You follow God's pattern, God promises to do the work in your life. We tried to do the work, and we fell. We got it reversed. We must follow God's pattern. Do it God's way, and God produces the fruit in the life. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, I pray that you would just take what we heard from the book of 1 Peter, apply it to our hearts and to our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.